Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running back. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm half a cup of a roll of a to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm the Lord, I'm the Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place and shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny pan food in a Dutch pan. I'm from the north, say the devil can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have tuned in with me tonight. Truly, God has been good to us. He allowed us to see another year, and that's a beautiful thing. Tonight, we have been, in previous nights, we have been studying having faith in the midst of trouble. And this is a brand new year, and so we are focusing on purpose. This week we're focused on purpose. And yesterday I spoke to you a little bit about doing the will of God. And tonight I want to emphasize that we need to just trust God, because God is still in control of our lives. Trust God, because God is still in control of our lives, and He wants us to recognize that He is Lord of our lives and that we need to consecrate our lives unto Him. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we just give You glory, honor, and praise. We magnify Your holy name, O God. I thank You, Lord, because You're truly wonderful. You're awesome in this place, and we're just so grateful to You for how You have blessed us and how You have brought us into this brand new year, still in our right minds, O God, and able to bless You and lift up Your holy name. I pray for all those that are listening on tonight and those that will join us in listening to our recorded version. I pray that You would bless them, O God. Bless them this year with the desires of their heart. And I pray, most of all, that they would truly put their trust completely in You, God, to provide for every need that they have. Father, we just give You glory, honor, and praise, and we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friend, I'm so glad that you've joined me tonight. I am rushing. Just got home, but realized that I still wanted to be on the air tonight, and I'm just so thankful for the awesome privilege of being able to share the Word of God with you. I found a little book. You know, I love little tid bits from here, there, and everywhere. And this little book is called God Loves You. It's by Catherine Marshall. And what it did was put a bunch of little poems and different things together. And this little one I thought was so cute that I wanted to share it with you. It says, a small boy talks to God. Dear God, when I was 5 and very young, I thought all our food came from grocery stores. I just couldn't understand why Daddy kept thanking you. But now I'm 6 and much, much wiser. Now I know that stores would have no food if it weren't for you, if you didn't make things grow. So thank you, God, for funny little seeds that grow into pods of green peas and red tomatoes and yellow pumpkins and shiny apples. Thank you for the rain and sunshine to make the seeds grow. Thank you for the farmer men who plant the seeds and for the men who drive big trucks to take the food to market. Thank you for store men like Mr. Barnes in his big white apron, for Daddy who buys our food, and for Mommy who cooks such good things for us to eat. Thank you, God. Amen. I want you to know, dear friend, that God wants us to be like this little boy, whoever he is, because his name was not given in this book. But this little boy realized that we must be thankful for the little things and that we must understand that everything is ordained by God, and without God, nothing that we consider a blessing would actually happen, because God is truly the one that set things in order. And I'm so glad that he has set everything that we need in order. And I want to read you another one. It says, thank you, God, for the little things. Things I like best are little things, like baby birds and fluffy chicks, the puppies down the street, a shiny rock, my little Jeep, the buttercups we pick, a baby calf, some kittens, our playhouse just so big. Jesus, you were little once. You know how it is. Now, isn't that cute? It's so wonderful when we realize that the little things in life are worth being thankful for, and that when we understand God's purpose and plan for our lives, we will recognize that every moment that we have is a gift from God, and that we are to just be grateful for this moment that God allows us to be able to give him thanks. Dear friend, every single day is a blessing from God, and you ought to just take time right now and just begin to give God thanks, because I know that sometimes life is a challenge, and that sometimes, especially when we forget our true purpose here on this earth, sometimes we tend to not remember to give God thanks for the little things. But this is just a reminder to you, dear friend, that God made you with a plan and a purpose, and God truly wants you to remember to give him thanks even for the little things in your life. And so tonight we want to continue our study in Your Life Has Purpose. Your life has purpose. I want you to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And each and every day, remember that your life has purpose. And so, this next lesson, and once again, I am gleaning from different materials. And one of the people that I'm using is Ken Burks, who has put a bunch of fantastic Bible studies online. But the purpose of this lesson is to understand that we truly are living in the last days, and that we must truly begin to understand God's purpose for our lives, and also to understand that we are not just here for our own selves, but as we give glory to God, we must also be a blessing to someone around us. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so whenever you're making plans for your future, dear friend, remember that God's plans for your life must be the prevailing factor. Don't allow the enemy to have you make plans without God, because plans without God will not be successful. But when you put God as the forefront of your planning and as the center of your life, you will understand that whatever you do will be successful, because you remember that God's purpose will prevail. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, in his heart, and this is from the NIV, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The Lord determines his step. Dear friend, the Lord determines your steps. It does not matter what society says, that you can do your own thing and that you can do everything according to your own heart's desire. Well, God does want you to do things according to your own heart's desire, but he also wants you to understand, dear friend, that he created you with a purpose, and that purpose is to give him praise, to give him honor. And if we would read the King James Version of that, it says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directed his steps. You see, we devise the things that we want to accomplish, and we set our goals. But as I mentioned to you in our last lesson, when you set goals for your life, you should always pray, God, your will be done. In my heart, this is what I want to do, but God, let me not go astray from your will. Your steps must always be ordered by the Lord. Allow him to order your steps. Allow him to help you to consecrate your life and to dedicate your life, because first and foremost, our lives must be dedicated to him. So after we understand our true purpose of being here in this world, then we must consecrate or dedicate our lives to the Lord. And so, if we would look up the word consecration, the Webster's Dictionary says it is to make, declare, or set apart as sacred. To make, declare, or set apart as sacred. To dedicate some service or goal. To make holy, sacred, honored as holy, are hallowed. So in other words, when we consecrate ourselves, which is what most people do at the beginning of a new year, they consecrate themselves, or they go into consecration, they set themselves apart. Why? Because in order to do great things for God, we must set ourselves apart. We must begin to acknowledge first and foremost that God is who he is, and that we must consecrate or set aside ourselves to serve him and to give him honor. The Greek word ekkainizo or ekkainizo, it is spelled ekkainizo, and what it means is to renew. And so when you set yourself apart in consecration to God, what you're saying is that, God, I want to renew. I want to renew my mind. I want to renew my thoughts. I want to renew my heart. Or it also means to make holy, to inaugurate, to consecrate, to dedicate. And then another word from that is hagiozo. Hagiozo means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate. And it literally means not just physically in what you can do in fasting and prayer, but it also means mentally. In other words, I come into a mental state of mind where I am literally thinking pure thoughts. I am literally asking God to help me to dedicate myself completely to him, not just in actions, but in thoughts. My entire being is consecrated or set aside for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Greek word. The Hebrew word for consecration is the word gadash, katash. It's G-A-D-A-S-H, G-A, or actually it's a Q, Q-A-D-A-S-H, gadash. It literally means, I'm looking at this typesetting, maybe it is a G, A-D-A-S-H, and it literally means to be made or pronounced or to observe, to be clean ceremonially or morally, to appoint, bid, consecrate, dedicate, to hallow, to keep, prepare, proclaim, purify, sanctify. And so the word in the Hebrew word literally means to dedicate oneself. So when you're setting yourself apart, in the Greek, the Hebrew word for consecration, it literally means to prepare yourself. And if you study the Old Testament, you will see that it was a common practice to set yourself apart or to prepare yourself for service. If you look at the priests, they would have to go into the house of God and prepare themselves. Eli had to be prepared. Samuel, when he was called, he had to make preparation. And even in other faith groups, you know, in Persia, when Esther and those other virgins were trying to get the spot as the new queen, even they had to spend months and months in preparation in order to even go before the king. And so we see that we serve a higher king than that Persian king. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we have to prepare ourselves literally to go before a man, a human being, we know that going before the Most High God, we should also set ourselves apart or make ourselves ready. And the way that we make ourselves ready is not just going through the motions of doing things for God, but actually setting ourselves apart in prayer, in study, in fasting, so that God can speak to our hearts. So, when we think about purpose, God's purpose for our lives, when we think about our future and our destiny, and what we want God to fulfill in our lives, we understand that in order to hear God's voice, in order to understand His will for our lives, we're going to have to start with a time of consecration or setting apart. I know if any of us received an invitation to go before the president or the prime minister of a country or a sheikh in the Middle East or some other person of distinguishing characteristics or, you know, the upper echelon of society, we would not just pull on anything and go before them. We would perhaps get our hair done, or we might buy a new suit of clothing, whether it's a man buying a suit or a woman buying a new dress or whatever else she wants to wear. But I guarantee you that we would go out of our way to look our best. And sometimes we forget that the King of Kings also requires us to come before Him with our best. And what is our best? Our best attitude, our best, you know, behavior, our best. In other words, don't give Him what we have left over, but give Him the first fruit of our heart, the consecration of our lips in praise to Him, the consecration of our heart in prayer to Him. Let us give Him of our best, knowing that His purpose and His plan for our life is that we use our gifts to glorify and to honor Him. And so we should be set apart for His purpose. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that God himself should sanctify us wholly. But guess what? God does not force anything on anyone. He gave us volition. He gave us will. And so if we want to enter into his presence, we can. If we want to walk holy, we can. If we want to set aside ourselves or set apart ourselves for him, we can. But it's not something that is going to come unless we want it. God wants us to give up our entire mind, body, soul to him so that he can begin to do great things in our lives. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanse himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. And so let's go back even to verse 20. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. A vessel unto honor. And so God wants us to purge ourselves, of things that are not pleasing to God, And there's so many things that God is not pleased with. He is not pleased with a gossiping tongue, a lying tongue. He's not pleased with a person who is high-minded. You know, there's so many things that God is not pleased with. And actually, if you went over to chapter 3, some of those things are named. Because the Bible says, this know also, and I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's referring to a man wanting to be with a man or a woman wanting to be with a woman. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it also says traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So first, the Bible tells us that God has those that are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And so we know that vessels of honor are those that are going to do the will of God. Vessels of dishonor are going to be the ones that do the things that God is not pleased with. And some of those things I just named in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we understand that our vessels, our lives should be surrendered to God, because once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our body is now the temple of the living God. And God wants to be honored in our temple. Whatever we do, we must make sure that God, first and foremost, gets the glory. Dear friend, let's just take a moment and bless him. Dear Lord, we bless you right now. We praise you, O God. We thank you for what you have already done. Lord, for what you're about to do in our lives. Lord, we pray that everyone, Lord, under the hearing of my voice, would truly make up their minds to not allow themselves to get sidetracked, but to truly surrender their lives completely to you as a vessel surrendered into your hands to be used for your glory and your honor. Dear friend, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I will say it over and over and over again because I think sometimes we forget. We forget that God has called us and ordained us for such a time as this to serve in these last days, to bring the gospel of peace to those who are bound, those that need to be delivered. We are called to tell them that they need to repent. Acts 3, verse 19 through 21 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Dear friend, I want you to know that God called us to repent and to be converted so that our sins would be blotted out, meaning that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins are blotted out once you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And the Bible says that one of these days he is going to receive us unto himself, and there will be restoration. There will be restoration, and there's other scriptures that refer to the fact that the earth will be replenished. In other words, we will go to heaven and be with the Lord, but there's going to come a time when we will come back to earth. Why? Because heaven and earth will pass away as we know it, but the Lord is going to change the earth, and there shall be peace on earth, peace forevermore. And so why don't you take some time, dear friend, study the book of Revelations, because it will talk to you about things to come and even things that are beginning to happen all around us now, to understand what's going on in the last days. I want you to know, dear friend, that when God sees you, he sees someone beautiful. He sees someone who has the potential to be great in the kingdom of God. When he looks at you, he sees someone handsome if you're a man. He sees someone beautiful if you're a woman. He sees godliness when he sees you. In other words, you might not see your potential, but God does. He sees your potential. He sees that you can achieve greater things than you thought that you could achieve. Why? Because God sees the best in us. Marvin Sapp sang that song that I love so much. He saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me, he saw the best in me. I want you to know, dear friend, that when I talk about God's purpose and plan for your life, it is a reminder to you that God sees the best in you. In other words, he wants you to be successful. He wants you to be that dynamic individual walking in the Deuteronomy blessings, walking in Deuteronomy 28, that God will bless your basket and have it overflowing. He shall bless you in the city. He shall bless you in the field. God wants to bring all those blessings upon you if you will set yourself apart for him, if you will obey him and understand that he wants to sanctify his bride, the church. Ephesians 5, verse 26 through 27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Dear friend, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you became part of the body of Christ. You became part of that family that loves God. And when you joined yourself to a body, you understood that even if you didn't become a member of any church, you were still part of the body of Christ, because the church is not a building, but the church is the life-flowing, people that actually attend the church. They are the church, and God wants us to live holy lives and godly lives, and he wants us to be presented to himself as a living, vibrant church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so we have this God-given call on our lives to fulfill the purpose and the plan that God has called us for. God called us with a purpose in mind. He called us to be that light, that salt to those who need it. You know, when I read about us being the salt of the earth, I also did a little bit of study about the salt. And the Bible talks about that, you know, if we cannot be that salt of the earth, that we're therefore good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men. And when I read that, I said, well, you know, I wonder what that really means. And when I did some research on it, I realized that years ago, when the salt was not good anymore to be used for food or any other purpose, they would use it to pack the roads. And so when the Lord said that if you're not going to be salt and of the earth to encourage and to strengthen other people, that you would be, you know, like salt that people would walk on, it was referring to the fact that they literally packed the roads with salt. And of course, if you come from the areas in the north or the Midwest or what have you, where they get lots of snow, you realize that when there's a prediction of snow, salt is thrown down on the ground in order to keep the snow from sticking. And then, of course, people actually walk on it. So I want to remind you, dear friend, of your purpose in this world. It is to be an encouragement to other people. It is to strengthen other people. And don't become so, you know, complacent that God is not able to use you, because then you would be like the salt that people walk on. And that is no longer good except just to pack the ground. And I just want you to know, dear friend, that God has wonderful things in store for you, and that your purpose on this life, is in this world, is not for people to walk over you. It is not for people to push you down. It is not for people to disrespect you. So if you're in a situation where people are disrespecting you, understand that that is not God's will for your life. It is not God's will for you to just have people trample over you, but it is God's will for you to have joy and peace. It is God's will for you to be a leader, for you to set aside yourself, to consecrate your life, and to allow God to bless you. To allow God to bless you. God wants to bless you. Psalms 14, verse 2 said, The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. God wants to know that you are truly seeking him, and that you truly understand the call of God on your life. And so we see that in this life, as you're on this Christian journey, God wants you to set yourself apart so that he can fulfill his purpose in your life. Now, how can you tell those who are truly consecrated, who have truly set their lives apart for God? Well, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And so a person who has truly dedicated themselves to God, you will see it in the way that they live, in the way that they treat their neighbor, in the way that they treat their family. You will be able to tell that they truly have the love of God in their hearts. And also Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul urged the church at Rome to, one, first and foremost, surrender themselves totally to God, to give their bodies as a living sacrifice. And back in those days, it was literally, and in some of the countries where the church is still being persecuted, it is literal, because they are literally being killed for the gospel's sake. Now, in some parts of the world, they are not. We are free to worship. We are free to carry our Bibles. But in some other parts of the world, they are not. They are still being tortured and harassed for being a believer or a Christian. And so we ought to be thankful for those of us who live in parts of the world where we can still worship freely. Take that opportunity to surrender your life to God. Take that opportunity to establish what His will is and what His purpose and His plan is for your life. Because people will know whether you have truly surrendered your life to God and whether you have truly allowed Him to renew your mind and to renew your heart. Jesus wants us to be those vessels of honor that we talked about at the very beginning. God wants us, as we talked about in 2 Timothy, He wants us to be the vessels of honor. Remember it said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And so when we purge ourselves of all of the blemishes, in verse 21 it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Purge yourself from what? Purge yourself from anything that is ungodly. And even in verse 16 it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Don't sit around talking foolishness. But if you must talk anything, make sure it is something that is going to give God glory. Put away all the old lusts and all of the behavior that is just not pleasing to God, and ask Him to truly anoint you, to truly use you for His glory and His honor. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 reminds us that we should not go back, but we should move forward. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I want you to know that when you do the will of God, the love of God will abide forever in your heart, and the will of God will abide forever. So take time, dear friend, and allow God to fulfill His purpose and His plan in your life. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants you to make a decision right now to allow His purpose and His plan to saturate your heart, to saturate your life, so that you will understand about your future and your destiny. Everything that you decide right now will impact your destiny. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And if you remember, we also mentioned that verse in our last study. We ought to remember that it is not our will, but thy will be done. We must allow God, to fulfill his will and his plan in our lives. Even Jesus prayed when he was in the garden getting ready to go to the cross in Matthew 26, verse 42. He even prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If Jesus had to pray and ask the Father for his will to be done in his life, imagine us that we have to surrender our lives to God, and we have to understand that God is calling us to serve him, and God is calling us to surrender our will to him so that he could fulfill the purpose and plan in our lives. And Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we know that we are surrounded by all types of things, but we must redeem the time. We must, in other words, use our time wisely. Use our time wisely, understanding that time is getting short, and we must remember that Jesus is coming soon and very soon, and we must allow him to fulfill his purpose, his plan in our life, and understand how much he loves us, how much he cares about us. Romans 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Dear friend, you were called according to God's purpose, and he wants everything to work for the good in your life. And so I want you to remind you once again to surrender your everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope later on this week that you will study with me again on Thursday evening. I pray that you will study with me again as we continue our study on God's purpose for our lives. We know that God loves us very much. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to give him everything, not just part of who we are, but entirely who we are, our hearts, our minds, our everything. We need to dedicate our families to him, our children to him, everything. We need to just give him our all. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up, and there is no such thing as can. What you believe, you can achieve. What you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, are there some things in your heart that you've always wanted to do for God? Are there some dreams that you have that you almost gave up on? I want to encourage you, don't give up your dream. Remember that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And maybe you had to go the long way around to get to where you got to right now. Or maybe you still have a journey to go to get to where you need to get to. Whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to accomplish for him, do it. Do it with all your might. And I keep saying books because so many of us have these unwritten books. And I'm working on my books as well, hoping to have something published soon. But whatever it is that you are working on for God, I want you to truly begin to stretch yourself. What do I mean by stretch yourself? I mean, there are some things that you have wanted to do and you have been hesitating to do it. This is your year to stretch. This is your year to stretch. This is your year to reach for that thing that in the past seemed unattainable to you. This is your year to stretch out in faith and to do and to accomplish some of those great things that God has been calling you to do for a very long time. This is your season to be blessed. This is your season to stand on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. Dear friend, God is calling you. He has already set things in motion for you to be blessed, for you to fulfill the plan of God and his purpose in your life. But first and foremost, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're already a Christian, then you're well on your way to allowing God's will to be done in your life. And so, dear friend, let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you, Lord, for all those that have studied with me on tonight. I pray that you would bless them, keep them in the palm of your hands. I pray for their families, oh God, that are sincerely seeking your face. I pray that the blessing of Abraham would fall upon them, oh God, that they would be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the field, blessed in the city, that their baskets will be full and overflowing, that they would be the head and not the tail, that they would be above and not beneath. I pray, oh God, that you would just bless them right now. I pray for those that are sick right now. I know with the weather changing and flipping back and forth, many are getting sick. But Lord, we pray that you would touch them right now. We rebuke viruses right now. We rebuke, oh God, that spirit of oppression right now. We rebuke depression right now. We rebuke suicidal spirits right now. We rebuke sinus infections in the name of Jesus. We rebuke right now AIDS, hepatitis C, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke all types of strep throats in the name of Jesus, earaches in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that failing eyesight in the name of Jesus. And we pray specifically, oh God, for the missionary couple there in Kenya that are now back in the United States, Lord, and his eyesight. We rebuke that blindness in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, God, that you're healing, that you're touching, that you're restoring. I thank you all for all those who study with me regularly, oh God, and I pray that you'll continue to bless them, continue to keep them, oh God. And we thank you for all those that are out there preaching the gospel in whatever country they're living in, God. I pray that you would keep them, that you would help them, that you would provide for every need that they have, oh God. We bless you right now. We honor you. I pray for my brothers and sisters all over the world, oh God, in Europe, in the African nations, in India, Lord God, over there in the East Indies, oh God, in the West Indies, oh God, Caribbean, Central America, oh God, Lord, down there in Brazil and different areas of the world, oh, way over in Australia and up in Russia, and Lord, all those areas up in there, Lord God, little countries that I might not even know the names, God, my brothers and sisters all over the world, in Japan and different parts of Asia, God, we pray in Korea, oh God, Lord, we pray that you are blessed, oh God, David, Derek Princeton, God, all those around the world that are just preaching the gospel, oh God, we know that you're able, oh God, to use them for your glory and your honor. And oh God, we pray for those that are striving. Oh God, it seems so difficult at times, but Lord God, help them to continue striving to do their best for the glory and the honor of God. And we understand fully, oh God, that we cannot do it, but God, with Jesus Christ living in and through us, that we can be successful. We can live successful lives, oh God, for your glory and your honor. And Father, we just give you thanks. We give you praise, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for all those that understand, God, that there is victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, give them victory right now. And Father, we just give you glory. We give you praise once again for just allowing us the privilege each and every day to serve you. And I just want to play my favorite song, God is Real.
Mm-hmm. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus.